Okay, it's 1:30. I'd like to call to order the Greater Austin Area Telecommunications Network meeting of the Board of Directors for June 7th, 2022. Agenda item number one is a roll call. Management, can you please lead us through that?
Yeah, this is Frank Ammons, and I'll be leading the roll call. Dane Herbert, Travis County.
Present.
Steve Powell, DIR.
Present.
Jaime Guerra, UT. I'm going to skip Jaime for right now. Anthony Breckenridge, City of Austin.
Present.
John Griner, AISD. John,
hey,
you got
to... I think my audio was lost for just a second. This is John Griner, present.
Okay, let me double check the... I'm not seeing Jaime. Gary Wiesman, ACC.
Present.
Yep, we have a quorum. And I'll note that Jaime Guerra with UT just joined the meeting.
Do you get Robert Sadler?
Robert Sadler with LCRA. Robert, I'm showing you in attendance.
Roger that.
Sid Falk, Bickerstaff, Heath Delgado.
Yeah, I'm here.
Bo Kinsey, Travis County.
Present.
And make sure I've got everybody. That's the conclusion on the attendance, Dane.
Okay, thanks, Frank. Moving on to agenda item number two, which is citizen communication. Do we have anything today?
No, sir.
All right, moving on to agenda item number three, review and approve the minutes for the board meeting of May 3rd, 2022 in your packet.
Yeah, and I would like to note, this is Frank, and I would like to note it's 1:32 p.m. and Harold Nall with UT has joined the meeting.
And Jaime Guerra was present.
Ruben. Sorry, I'm late.
That's okay. Ruben Reyes, City of Austin, Jaime Guerra, I caught you earlier, is in the meeting, our attendance in the meeting as well.
Great.
Hey, John, I'm going to touch base with you real quick while everybody else is covering the meeting. This is Frank, and as a board member, you're required to have your camera on, and I'm seeing it's not, if I'm not mistaken. Are you on?
I've got my camera on right now.
Oh, there you go. There you go. I got you. Thank you, sir.
Hey, Frank, this is Griner again. No, can I get an audio check?
Your audio checks. Yeah, you're good.
This is Jaime. I'd like to make a motion to approve the minutes as presented.
This is Steve. I'll second.
All right, thank you. We have a motion and a second to approve agenda item number 3, which is review and approve the minutes for the regular board meeting of May 3rd, 2022, as presented. Is there any further discussion? Okay, management, can you please lead us through a vote?
Yes, Dane Herbert, Travis County.
Aye.
Steve Pyle, DIR.
Aye.
Jaime Guerra, UT.
Aye.
Gary Wiesman, ACC.
Aye.
Ruben Reyes, City of Austin.
Aye.
Robert Sadler, LCRA.
Aye.
John Griner, AISD.
Aye.
Motion passes.
All right, thank you. Moving on to agenda item number 4, that's the consent agenda. 4A is seeking approval for ACC's new node on A1N at UT Walter Webb Hall. And 4B is seeking approval for draft revisions to the Gatton teardown damage repair policy. Do we have any discussion? Otherwise, we'll entertain a motion.
Frank, can you remind me if we did any further changes to the teardown policy after the tech meeting?
We did. It was a simple typo where I repeated the word permanent repair twice.
Okay. That's
the only change.
All right. Well, in that case, this is Jaime. I'd like to make a motion to approve consent agenda items 4A and 4B.
This is Gary Wiesman, second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve the consent agenda items 4A and 4B. Is there any further discussion? Okay, hearing none, management, can you please lead us through another vote?
Dane Herbert, Travis County.
Aye.
Steve Paul, DIR.
Aye.
Jaime Guerra, UT.
Aye.
Gary Wiesman, ACC.
Aye.
Ruben Reyes, City of Austin.
Aye.
Robert Sadler, LCRA.
Aye.
John Griner, City, AISD.
Aye.
Motion passes.
Thank you. Item number 5, board chairperson update. 5A is the Encore annual full attachment agreement cost.
Yeah, so let me get to my document in regards to that. Okay, so for this one, it's an update and it's possible action regarding this. So the purpose of this item is to discuss Gatton funding for the Encore pole attachment agreement and then requesting reimbursement from the City of Austin and Travis County for their prospective amounts. So the City of Austin, just to give you some history here, the City of Austin CTM originally executed an agreement with Encore, which was done in 2006. However, it was under the name of City of Austin / CTM / Gatton. And since then, the City of Austin has paid this annual pole attachment cost because it was for a City of Austin site. Last year, Travis County had a project that required attaching two Encore poles and applied as Gatton under the City of Austin / CTM / Gatton agreement. This year, the City of Austin was invoiced for both their pole attachment agreements and as Travis County's as well. So that's been a change. When Travis County added these pole attachment agreements, there was a change to the amount of poles that were attached to that belong to Encore. So the simplest solution to this would be for Gatton to pay this cost to Encore in FY23 and request reimbursement from the City of Austin and Travis County. Or the other option is Gatton may prefer to assume this cost going forward without requesting reimbursement as it does with Blue Bonnet. The total cost for FY22 for the City of Austin Travis County attachments is approximately $4,400. We do have a copy of the invoice and the original agreement available for review if needed in our flash drive, which we could show you. There's not much to see on there, you know, outside of the agreement itself, which has been in place since 2006. So, yeah, it basically has the option of moving forward the same way it does with Blue Bonnet, or we can keep moving forward the way we have with this Encore pole attachment agreement and having the reimbursements done between Gatton and the entity responsible for adding poles, which make the cost of the agreement go up. As it stands right now, either way, either decision is underneath the network's management spending authority. And, you know, we're talking about $4,400 currently right now. I mean, so another way to put this is Gatton could look at this as, well, you know, we are Gatton. We apply as Gatton out in the field. We're known to the rest of the world as Gatton. And this should be covered underneath our, you know, our network, what we contribute to Gatton to be a member of Gatton. Or we can continue doing it the same way and break out, you know, take and track all the invoicing and make sure that each entity is paying into Gatton respectfully.
What's your recommendation, Frank?
I think it may be just simple. The simplest solution may be to just, you know, have Gatton pay this cost to Encore and then request for reimbursement. But I think unless something changes and maybe we set a threshold, I think the simplest solution is to handle it the way we do Blue Bonnet. And because it may be UT that's building a new site out on some new on Encore poles. But once it's built, it's Gatton Pathway, and Gatton can use it for future use. That maybe seem like a weak argument, you know, it may be a one-off and a what-if, but I think that's the best solution going forward to stop all the invoicing back and forth between Gatton entities for a pole attachment agreement that ultimately is Gatton's responsible for.
Hey, Frank, let me ask a question, Frank.
Yes, sir.
Are the cables that are strung for City of Austin and for Travis County Gatton cables, or are they individual entity cables?
They are individual entity cables.
Then
Frank, if I could. Excuse me. This is Bo. The new Encore permits that we have now are for our North Loop project, and we're hanging in a fiber out there. It's a 114 on one side of it. The other side will be done at 144 since we changed the counts. But you know, we're building that to where all of our current sites, but we have the capacity to where if we have any other entities that will need that in the future, it'll be there.
Yeah, that's a good point, Bo. So Sid, I guess that maybe I didn't answer you correctly, but the fiber that has been built out there is used by a specific entity, but can be used by other Gatton members. The attachment itself, not the fiber that's attached to the attachment, if you will, because there's a strand and then there's a fiber attached to it. The strand itself to everybody else outside of us, and most importantly, Encore is known as Gatton. That's what we're paying for, is that attachment.
This is Sid. I understand that. My question is, if this is a Gatton expansion, have we treated it as such in the first place, or are we going to, by assuming, by deciding now to treat it as Gatton extension, going to confuse the process that we have for authorizing Gatton extensions?
No, this is Bo again. This is not a Gatton project. This is a Travis County project. Okay, and has been for the last 3 years. So it's just with all the permitting for all the different areas and different carriers, it's been going very slow. But this is is not a Gatton project.
So is this a billing issue between Oncor, City of Austin, and Travis County? Should Gatton be in the middle of it?
So I wouldn't, this is Frank, and I wouldn't consider it an issue. It's just an option that we have on the table right now that, you know, we can take care of, because we have one option of paying, you know, the way we historically have, and having the reimbursements from who is now the City of Austin and Travis County, and who could be any other entity in the future going forward on any other pole lines, or whether or not entity builds out on a pole line as Gatton, whether or not that's just incorporated and understood to be Gatton, and Gatton fund and Gatton funds that cost for the pole attachments.
Yeah, this is Bo again. Correct me if I'm wrong, Frank, and maybe Chris Gonzalez could chime in here. But the power companies, people who own the poles, they don't recognize us as individuals and having the right to attach the poles. The only entity that can attach to them is Gatton, and being that we're a Gatton member, when we file for those permits, we file as Gatton.
Yeah, that's correct. And so it's more to your question, Robert, it's more of an internal issue on how we handle things, you know, or decide to handle things going forward. We did, you know, the thing that triggered this is we saw when the City of Austin got the invoice for Oncor pole attachment agreements, we saw these new poles that aren't City of Austin's. So how do we go about rectifying that? Okay, you know, the City of Austin's going to pay for it, and it's going to reimburse accordingly, request a reimbursement accordingly thereafter from the City of Austin for their portion of poles, and then from Travis County for their portion of poles. And we can just do that from here on out until somebody decides otherwise. But the thought did cross our mind as a network management team, you know, the way we handle Bluebonnet, Gatton has that cost each year for the pole attachment. And same thing with, well, not with Austin Energy, but it would be if it existed, if a reason existed to do so. But for Bluebonnet, at least we, you know, Gatton covers that cost, and it's just incorporated, you know, into what it costs to be a member of Gatton. And basically the network right contributions that the members give each year. It's just a thought.
Hey, Frank,
this is Sid. I'm thinking that this conversation probably ought to be deferred to an executive session, Dane, because there are consequences for potential inconsistencies with how we treat the network and individual participant projects. And I'd like to be able to discuss that more openly rather than in the open session.
All right, sounds good to me. That's good with you, Frank. We'll move it down to item 7.
Yeah, sounds great.
All right, let's move on to 5B, update on the NOC maintenance service level agreement.
Okay, for 5B, at the last technical meeting, I reported that I had drafted this maintenance agreement between Gatton and the City of Austin for the maintenance of the backup NOC. And in speaking with the DCO manager, who's the data center operations manager with the City of Austin, he reported back to me that the City of Austin has made the decision that they're not going to require an agreement for the preventive maintenance at the backup NOC, and rather that they're going to handle it in the same fashion that they do for Gatton when it comes to Fire Station 6 and City Hall. However, if in the event that should a major occurrence take place where something on a generator or one of the in-row coolers, anything of that nature takes place and has to be replaced or repaired, and you know it's over an amount that Gatton, that the City of Austin's willing to cover or able to cover, then they are going to invoice Gatton. So that's where we talked previously about, you know, and I think ASD, you're still verifying this for us, but we were waiting a verification from AISD in regards to whether or not, you know, from a fiscal agent standpoint of for Gatton, whether or not they're going to require an agreement to be in place for the City of Austin to invoice in the future should the need arise. And Ruben, I'm correct when I'm saying you've been in those meetings with me and the DCO and the city there at the City of Austin. And for the preventive maintenance, I'm correct when I say that the City of Austin is not will not be invoicing Gatton for that, correct?
That's correct. That's for the ongoing maintenance.
All right. So that's where we're at with it. We're not going to be able to move forward with anything until we find out from ASD, and I know they're working on it, and I know Sarah, if I'm not mistaken, John, where we left off with this was, you know, Brenda came up in conversation, and Brenda Dalton, and then another person came up, and we're working through those avenues and contacts to verify whether or not something's needed, correct?
That's correct, Frank. This is John Griner. Yes, that's correct.
Okay, so that's where we're at today with it. There's no, you know, this is, was asked to be an ongoing agenda item, so there's nothing, you know, no discussion or outside of that that, you know, unless somebody has a question or concern, and there's no, vote that needs to take place right now.
Yeah, if the Austin ISD manages the creating basically the PO and the funds, we would just need to come up with a decided amount that's what we feel would be sufficient, at least for year one, to get us started, and then we could adjust year two if that's what we just end up doing. So,
yeah. And so, if the board's okay with it, what I may do is drop this one off because it's a rolling agenda item as of right now. If we don't get an update, but hopefully we will between now and the next board meeting, we should. But if we don't have this finalized with ASD between now and then, I'll drop it off the board meeting agenda until we have that figured out with ASD, what's required or whether anything's required at all. And then once we know that, we'll bring it back to the board for discussion and possible action, if that's okay.
That sounds great. Sounds like good news to me. And thank you, Frank, to you and Ruben for work, for keeping this going and getting us in a good place.
Yes, sir.
All right, 5C. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, any more questions in regards? Okay, go ahead, Dane.
Let's go to 5C, Austin Energy Gatton memo discussion.
Yes, so for this one, at the most recent tech meeting, we held discussions, and I reported that we had a meeting with Ruben, Dane, and CTM executive management regarding the relationship between Gatton and Austin Energy and drafting a memorandum to Austin Energy regarding process improvement. Dane had reported that the correspondence was a recommendation from the CTM executive management, and he asked members to discuss signing such correspondence with their individual entity leadership. So on May 27th, I sent out a version of this memorandum for review. I did get some feedback from a couple members. I had one typo in there along the way on it, which has been rectified, and Sid is under review of it currently. And as soon as he gives us the thumbs up and the green light, correct me if I'm wrong, Sid, please, but as soon as you do your final review of it, we should be able to move forward with this agreement, get it out to all the respective members for execution.
So just a little bit.
Frank, I should point out that this is Sid. I circulated to Frank and a couple of the chairs a redline version of this. And it doesn't look like those changes have been incorporated in this handout. Do you want to circulate that, Frank? Let people see that.
Yeah, good catch, Sid. Yeah, so this one, you know, was not part of the your redline version is not the handout you see today. I'll get that circulated. Good point, Sid.
And Frank, just for the record, Frank, I was okay with your typo and other corrections. It looks
okay.
Good.
Thank you, sir.
Frank, this is
a little bit of background here because they weren't on the call, and we only briefly touched on this at the tech meeting. But we met with the City of Austin CTM CIO, Chris Stewart, and one of his deputies. We gave him the background of what's happened over the years with Gatton and Austin Energy, and we asked if he has any political clout or any other ideas on how they can help us get into a better situation with Austin Energy with our permitting, our projects, and potentially even our placement on those polls. And to make a long story short, they indicated that they do not know how to improve the situation. In fact, Chris Stewart was over at Austin Water, had the same issue with Austin Energy anytime they came into contact with AE poles. And currently, in his current role, they're still having the same issue with Austin Energy poles, to the point that when in doubt, they try to avoid using Austin Energy poles anytime that they can. So they expressed empathy for our situation, but this was their recommendation, was to put together a memo, have all of the organizations sign it, and then give it to Austin Energy, hopefully putting a little bit of political pressure on them. He also mentioned that he would make some calls in the background to some of his contacts, letting them know that this is coming so that it's not a complete shock. Also, Paul Hoppengartner here at Travis County has offered to do the same. He's aware of the situation, and he's offered to reach out to his contacts over Austin Energy to try to help grease the wheels, as it were. Are there any questions on that conversation or where we are and why we want to do the memo?
I mean, is the memo something we can talk about in executive session as well? Is that permitted?
Is this something we can speak to the council on?
Yeah, this is Sid. To the extent that we are discussing legal rights and consequences, in other words, lawyer is giving you advice on, for instance, the scope and effect of the interlocal agreement rights, we can have that discussion. Anything that departs from legal questions and answers, probably not. But since most of this memo is basically an argument about we are not being treated as we think we should be under the interlocal, I think, yes, we can discuss most of the salient questions in executive.
Hey, Frank, this is Jaime. I'd ask that when you send the revised memo out that you accept all the changes so it's real clear to read.
Very well.
And that's a good point. There is a newer version coming. The first, you can ignore the first version that went out. By the way, who asked the question about the executive session? Was that you, Bobby?
I missed the question. I think I heard my name, though.
I think it was Dane.
The request for executive session on this one?
Yes, sir.
That was Bobby, yes.
Okay. Is that something you'd like to pursue when we get to item number 7, executive session? You want to continue this conversation on this document?
Yeah, if we could.
Okay.
Doesn't have to be long discussion, but.
So knowing that we have another conversation coming, does anybody have any questions or discussion on this memo in open session? All right, hearing none, we're going to go ahead and table this one as well down to executive session. That takes us to 5D, which is the property damage claim for the damage at C2S and FM 620. I do not believe we need anything for executive session here, so let's go ahead and cover this topic.
Okay, for 5D, this is Frank, property damage claim for C2 South, FM 26, and Lower Water Crossing, which took place on March 14, 2022. Management has heard back from the adjuster for Progressive and responded to their question about the emergency permanent repair. Management expects this claim to be paid and will continue to update the board. The total cost of this damage is less than $15,000, and I have nothing to report on that at this time. It looks like that one's going well. Are there any questions? Hearing none, I'm going to move on to 5E, which is the property damage claim against J.D. Abrams / Lone Star Paving for the damage of C1N at I-35 in Rutherford on September 20th, 2021. Sid, I don't know if you have anything new to update on this one or not, and whether or not you want to do an open session.
I've already communicated to Dane. I think this one is a brief summary, but it should be done in executive.
Yeah, so let's go ahead and skip to item number 6, please, Frank.
Okay. Bear with me here. I'm changing documents. Okay, this is Frank for the network manager's report. If you look in your handouts under 6A, you'll see the project status report. I have a few updates here for you on this. For the active developer funded projects, if you'll recall, I'd reported in the past tech meeting that the Superior North Travis County Civil Family Courthouse had gotten rescheduled due to the request of a GAT entity, and it has been rescheduled for the June 15th date and splice date of the 16th of June. For GATT completed projects, we had a damage that took place on C1 South. You'll see they're highlighted in red. This was last week. And Carlos, do you want to speak to this one at all? I know we covered it, but I know you're hands-on with that one. If you think there's anything that needs that you need to speak to with it, or if members have any questions, go ahead and let us know. You're going to get, just so you know, the tech committee is going to get a full report on this network damage. Part of that network damage report that we put out, if I'm not mistaken, this was a small damage, Carlos, underneath my spinning authority. Is that correct?
That's correct, sir. And this is, there was no damage to the actual cable. It was just damage to the strand. It was restrung and put up again at the right height. So there was no impact at all. Nobody actually noticed in their networks.
And then we had another one over the weekend that you won't see on this status report, but we're going to update the technical subcommittee as we're required to do with our network report. But over the weekend, Carlos, do you want to speak to that one real quick? The reason you don't see it on here is because, of course, these handouts went out on Friday and posted Friday as they should. And then the incident took place on Saturday. I'm sure you saw the GATT alerts repair that went out, emergency repair. Carlos, you want to speak to that one real quick?
Yes, sir. And during Saturday, we believe that during Saturday morning's lightning storm, we might have gotten hit on Super Ring North, somewhere between Reagan and I think the next site there would be I'm not entirely sure, but it's just east of I-35. We have isolated the section between Super Ring North 11, which is the case, and Super Ring North 12, which is on the other side of the highway, and it's roughly about 4,600 feet. To repair this in a permanent way under temporary status, most likely the cable will be strung this Friday. With no impact to the network, and I will be sending out an emergency notice today for only a 1 week notice for Tuesday splicing. And the reason for being so fast about this is that if we do it on the temporary repair, that won't take 2-3 years to get permanent.
Well, hey, Carlos. Yeah, I'm sorry to interrupt. It may not be for everybody else, but for me, you're cutting out quite a bit. I think the point you're making is we're going to go ahead and do it as a permanent repair while we can without trying to, wait any length of time to make it a temporary and then apply for the permanent repair, which I think is a good move on our part.
That's absolutely correct.
And we'll review this as well in the tech committee here in a couple of weeks, a little more detail.
That's correct, sir.
Any questions? That's all I have for the project status report update. Is there any questions in regards?
I got a question. Page 4, entity-specific project, UT C1 North to Pickle Campus. Sid, do you have any update on the status of the Cap Metro license agreement?
Sorry, I had to get to my mute. This is Sid. I am reviewing what they have sent over as a draft, which appears to be, and I need to do a side-by-side comparison to verify it, it appears to be not the original form, but the modified form that we worked out with them. And once I've done that review, I will report that to Frank, and in principle, we'll be ready to execute, assuming all the plans for the crossing are in place and documented, and then the fees to be paid.
Excellent.
So we're close.
Very good. Thank you. And just as a reminder, the board did already authorize Dane to sign it pending your review. So that should move pretty quickly. No further questions, Frank.
Okay. I'll move on to network manager's update, which is 6B, the job budget report. And you'll see in your handouts that is there for you to review. So management is currently tracking 43 jobs totaling $1.7 million. For FY23 so far, $657K has been invoiced and $1 million is encumbered. 19 jobs have been completed and 24 are still pending completion. Management will have a fiscal year end summary at the next board meeting. And just to remind everybody and familiarize the newer members with the fact that Gatton's fiscal year starts again in July 1st. So our next fiscal year will start July 1st. It ends on end of June 30th each year.
Question, this is Dane. Question for John. John, I'm not sure what end of year processes are required on AISD's end. Are you all prepared for that? Do you have everything that you need? I know that John Kay has typically taken care of this, so.
Yeah, luckily I was his primary assistant. I was that one that actually executed getting the POs created. So I'll work alongside Sarah to make sure the normal processes on our end get done. And then I'm also in touch with John Kay, so I plan to have a few more Gatton-specific meetings with him to make sure that we're covered.
Excellent. Thank you, John.
Yeah, no problem.
Any other questions or comments? Hearing none, I hand it back over to you, Dane.
All right, thanks, Frank. We're going to move to item number 7, which is executive session. We're going to adjourn at, they removed the clock in here. 2:08 p.m. Under one or more of Texas Government Code sections 551071, 551072, 551074, 551076, and or 418.175 through 418.181. And that's what happens when Sarah doesn't send me my cheat sheet before the meeting.
Sorry, Dane.
All right. So we're in here. I'll meet you over there at the end of the hall. Thank you.
Thank you.
Just turn back to open session at 3:11 p.m. I believe we have a roll call. Yeah, please. Item number 8 is roll call. Management, can you please put it through and update your roll call?
Sure. This is Frank with Gatton. I'll be taking the roll call. I've got Sid Falk with Bickerstaff and Heath.
Here.
Anthony Breckenridge, City of Austin.
Present.
Dane Herbert, Travis County.
Present.
Carlos DeMatos, Gatton.
Present.
Gary Wiesman, ACC.
Present.
John Griner, AISD.
Present.
Harold Nall, UT.
Present.
Ruben Reyes, City of Austin.
Present.
Robert Sadler, LCRA. I'm showing you as present, Robert. You may be muted.
No, I'm sorry. I thought I unmuted. Present.
And Steve Pyle, DIR.
Present.
That completes the roll call.
Okay, thanks, Frank. In executive session, we discussed items 5A, 5C, and 5E. 5A, the board has asked management to put together a report showing the poll attachment agreements and the agreements where there are individual or multiple entities that participate, and the billing mechanism attached to those. On 5C, the Austin Energy Gatton memorandum discussion, management is going to distribute the latest version with all of the edits of that memo for the individual entities to discuss internally. And under 5E, no action required. Moving on in the agenda, we are on item number 9, which is discussion and possible action regarding the financial report from AISD.
Okay, this is Frank, and for this AISD budget report, this is for the month ending in April 30th, 2022. As of that date for FY22, Gatton has received $1.9 million in revenue and paid out $1.65 million in expenses, leaving a project reserve balance of $1.44 million, plus the $2.1 million emergency reserve balance, which brings the total fund balance to $3.5 million. Are there any questions? Dane, hearing none, you want to move on to the next? I'm sorry, I don't mean to rush. Apologize.
No, you're good. Last chance for questions, comments on the budget. All right, hearing none. Item number 10 is the meeting and action item summary.
So, Dane, you called out two of them that I had captured. And the other one, the third one, is the further discussion. Oh, sorry about that. Is send out the redline version of AE memorandum. You actually covered that one. So no, you've covered our action item meetings for today.
Okay. Is there anything that we missed from any of the board members that you remember? All right. I'm not here. That'll wrap it up. Item 11 is the confirmed date, time, and location for the next board meeting. It'll be on July 12th at 1:30 p.m. Here at the LCRA Service Center or via Microsoft Teams. Thank you all for your participation, and this meeting is adjourned at 3:15 p.m.
Hey guys. Y'all have a good one.
Okay.
Thank you all. Hey, Frank, I'm going to give you a call on my cell in a little bit.
Okay. Thank you. I think somebody else. I'm waiting on somebody else. All right. Gary, is that you?
Yeah.
What you got?
Well, can you send me a copy?